Father, we thank you today for your plan for marriage. We thank you, Lord, today also that your word still works. We pray today, Lord, that you will take your word and that you will use it in our hearts. Let us not shy away from your word, even though it might be a little uncomfortable at times, but let us rather be transformed by your word, and let us rather embrace your word so that we might become heirs of all the blessings that are written and recorded in your word. You have great rewards for those who will follow you in all the matters of life, and especially in this most important one that we're speaking about right now. So, Lord, today, open our hearts to hear what you have to say, what you really have to say, and let us trust your way. And let us follow your way. Let us order our lives by your way so that we may indeed experience your blessings and the fruit of obeying you and at the same time be a great testimony to the world. Take your word today and use it in our hearts according to the need. And we ask these things humbly in Christ's name and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you want to duck, the time is now. Oh, by the way, next week, after that song today, I think next week we're doing the Jericho March. Today, we do part two on what I said later. I would have, if I'd had a little more time, I would have named it Marriage God's Way. But that's our topic today. And we talked last week a little bit about, you know, how marriage is under attack on a number of fronts through increased divorce, through living together arrangements, and now through the all-out push to even redefine marriage as to what a marriage really is. Totally contrary to the Word of God. And I just want to make this statement today, and that is God's Word is never outdated. What we think is modern, what we think is new, what we think is superior is nothing but the reinvention of old and failed things and will always result in the same things. We get exactly God's laws of sowing and reaping. Are they outmoded? Those things have not changed. Today we have those big tractors and combines and modern methods of planting. But the law still is, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me tell you something. God's principles do not change. We may break them, but in doing so, we will break ourselves on them because God's principles will stand forever. And when the last philosopher and the last New Age thinker has put their thing out there and it has all failed, God's Word will stand and will prevail. So, believer in the Lord, do not be ashamed of the Word of the Lord. Do not be afraid to trust the Word of the Lord. What the Word of the Lord says has always been contrary to what the majority opinion was. But the Word of the Lord has always been right. Think of Noah. And so we will stake our claim on the Word of the Lord. So God's Word has a lot to say about many things. And we talked last week, this thing of marriage. Marriage is before the home. You don't have a home until you have a marriage. You don't say, well, these children, where did they come from? They came from the marriage. Or they came from a union outside of marriage, which should have been a marriage. But in any event, according to God's plan, you have the marriage, then you have the home, then you have the community, and you have the church, and you have government, and you have other things. But the marriage is the most basic, other than the fact that we are made in God's image and for His honor and glory, at the human level, the most basic building block that God established was Adam and Eve in the garden. And from them, each and every one of us. Now, we do live in a fallen and an imperfect world, and there's a lot of suffering in the world, and we can't avoid that. But God has given us His plan, and even in the fallen setting that we live in today, God's plan is going to work a lot better than the world's plan. And so the world's plan right now is, oh, just disregard marriage. If it doesn't work, just, you know, leave it, break it up, go on to something else. Or don't even bother to get married. Just live together. It doesn't really matter. A piece of paper doesn't mean anything. I want to explode that myth real quick. Let me tell you something. We do not, and I say this over and over, we do not, in the areas of morality and things like that, we do not live the rest of our lives that way. We have a different set of rules now in our modern society when it comes to issues of morality that we would never do in real life. I sold cars for almost 10 years. What do you think? You know, well, let's just live together and see if it works, and then if it works, then we'll get married. What if somebody had come into the dealership when I was selling vehicles and said, look, I'd like to take this pickup truck home. I'd like to haul a little gravel in it. I'd like to haul a little sand in it. I'd like to haul a little furniture in it for about 3 months. And if I figure out that this is the truck I really need, I'll come back and buy it. Ain't gonna work. You don't own that truck. It's okay maybe to take it for a brief test drive, but if you want to be hauling gravel and sand, sign right here on the dotted line, please, and pay for it. Then it's yours, and then you can haul all the gravel in it you want, and all the sand and all the furniture, because you made the commitment and you paid the price. Amen. So, that's why I'm saying. And yet, in something as important as this, oh, no, it doesn't matter. Yeah, right. Let's look at a few words. God does have a design for marriage, and His design is laid out. When Jesus is approached, said, what about this, and what about that, and why did the law allow it, and all of this, Jesus takes them all the way back, right on back. He takes them right on back to chapter 2. He says, let me tell you what was before Deuteronomy. Genesis. And when God makes the woman and she brings her to Adam, He says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she will be called woman because she was taken from the man. And it says that God made her to be a suitable help to him, to be a life partner to him. Some of you have probably heard this. Lord took it from the rib. Have you ever noticed how that describes modern surgery? And when the Bible was written, they didn't have any such thing. The Lord puts him in a deep sleep, opens him up, removes it, and then closes him back up again. I tell you what, folks. And then makes the woman and brings her to him. Says, this is... And therefore, it says right there, this is God's original plan. A man will what? Leave his father and mother. What will he do? Leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Be united to his wife. And they will be what? One flesh. God no longer sees them as two, but one. And that is God's plan for marriage. And from that comes the home unit. And from the home unit comes all other human endeavor, all other human relationships, and everything else. So God has a vested interest in your marriage. He's interested in your marriage. And how many believe God wants you to have a good marriage? I think so. So if He wants us to have a good marriage and we don't, whose fault is it? But the problem's down here. It's not with God's institution of marriage. You got me? It's with us. Okay, God designed marriage. Let's just look. And we don't have time. Look, you can take this home and read these verses. And there are other verses. But we're going through this quick. But just basically. And these are no-brainers, as we would say. Number one. God designed marriage to be intimate. There is no relationship on earth as intimate. Your relationship with your son or your daughter or your parent is not as intimate as your relationship with your wife or with your husband. And that is exactly the way God designed it to be. And so God designed it to be an intimate relationship. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, at every juncture, He meant it to be intimate and to be more intimate than even the relationship you have with your blood relatives. I remember an old guy down in Puerto Rico. He said, oh, he said, that wife of mine, she ain't nothing. She's somebody I married. Now, my blood relatives, they're my real relatives. Wrong, boom, wrong, wrong. In God's eyes, nobody is, of no other relationship does it say they will be one flesh. And so, it's meant to be intimate. Number two, it's meant to be permanent. Intimate and permanent. Yes, permanent. Permanent. It's meant to be permanent. God meant for marriage to be permanent. And that is the one thing that we have gotten away from. We no longer view it that way. We may say the same vows, but we don't have the same, anyway, whatever's going on in our heads when we say the vows isn't like it was in times past. But God meant for marriage to be permanent. Number two, yes. This may be a challenge at times, but the Lord meant for it to be harmonious. He wants husbands and wives to get along. And when we don't, that's not His fault. And it's not the fault of the fact that we're married. It's because of some other thing. And those are things that can be worked on. And every marriage has its rough spots. And all of that. Now, I don't mean by harmonious, oh, we always see eye to eye on everything. Listen, all of them do the first 3 or 4 days. But the point is, we get along. Even if we disagree, but we call it, yeah, we get along. And that's what the Lord wants marriage to be. 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate. Are men considerate? Don't answer that, ladies. Be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Oh. So if I'm on the outs with my wife, my prayers may be hindered. Huh? Do you really want your prayers hindered? So the Lord intends for marriage to be harmonious and, yes, enjoyable. Now, I put Proverbs 5:18. Read the verses around it, too. But the Lord, may your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. So the Lord, yes, meant for marriage to be enjoyable. He also meant for it to be, number five, rewarding. And we have a few verses there. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. A wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. And so forth. And then later it says of her, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise in the city gate. And so through the marriage relationship, and when it works like it's supposed to, we're not supposed to be the same. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to complement each other. But we are supposed to support each other and love each other and be there emotionally for each other. And when we do this the way that God says to do it, it's not our differences. It's whether we really treat each other right that really, when it really comes down to it. And when it's done right, it is the most rewarding thing. I realize it can be about the worst thing we ever go through when we don't do it right. But when we do it God's way, it is about the most rewarding thing that we experience on this earth. As one wedding ceremony says, it is what remains of paradise. It is the best thing this side of heaven. Now, scripturally speaking, what is marriage? From God's point of view, what is marriage? Very quickly. Marriage is, number one, it is a covenant. It is a covenant. First and foremost, scripturally speaking, marriage is a covenant. A covenant, we have the definition up at the top. It is a formal, solemn, and binding agreement entered into by two or more parties. It is a compact. It is a solemn pledge. I pledge myself to you. You pledge yourself to me. And how many know that this kind of covenant, this kind of compact, is not to be entered into lightly or thoughtlessly or frivolously? Because when before, yes, do think about it before you sign your name on that dotted line. Do give it the proper thought. Do give it the proper consideration. Because this is a covenant. And covenants in God's world are sacred because God Himself is a covenant maker. There is a covenant that God made after the flood, which is recorded in chapter 9 of Genesis. There is a covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants, and it is recorded in Genesis 17. There is a human covenant that Jacob entered into with his father-in-law Laban when he left to return to his country. Those are the three covenants that you read about in the book of Genesis. And then as you go through the scripture, you find other covenants. But God is a covenant God, and God enters into covenants. And when God enters into a covenant and he makes an agreement and he says, if you'll do this, I'll do this. How many know that when God says, if you do this, I'll do this, he always keeps his word? He never breaks a covenant. He never goes back on a covenant. Many times we break a covenant. We violate a covenant. God does not break a covenant. And God hates it when we break covenants, because it has to do with the fidelity of the character of the person who made the promise. How many have heard it said, even out in the world, of someone in the business world, or they'll say, their word is their bond. How many have ever heard that? Their word is their bond. In other words, if they tell you they'll do it, you can go to the bank on it. And that's the way it is with God, and that's the way He wants it to be with us. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, don't swear, don't use oaths. Just say yes or no. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, because anything that is more than that is of evil. Why? Because if I have to give an oath for somebody to believe me, what does that say about me? And so marriage is a covenant. And it is sacred. And it is binding. And it is made in the sight of Almighty God. It is a covenant. Number two, it is a commitment. The covenant is only as good as the commitment. You can't have a covenant last unless there's a commitment. And that's what I was talking about a while ago about the pickup truck. You got to make that commitment. Make the commitment. And then all the fun will come later. But make the commitment. We live in a world now where people don't want to make any kind of a commitment. Don't want to make any kind of a commitment. And anybody will tell you that. It's hard. The younger the generation, the less anybody wants to make any kind of a long-term commitment to anything. And we just want to kind of make it up as we go along. We don't want to have obligations. We don't want to have responsibilities. We don't want this. We just want to be able to just keep on making it up as we go along. And that's what people are doing. And that's exactly the mess that we see around us every single day. Because people do not take commitment seriously. And more, people don't even want to enter into commitments of any kind. But God says, I want marriages that will last. I want marriages that constitute a covenant where there's a commitment. Now, in any relationship, will there be hard spots? Most of the time. I've known maybe a handful of couples who claim, and some of them I've known personally, they never had a crossword with each other. I'll have to take their word for that. But I'll guarantee you one thing. For everyone that said they didn't ever had a crossword with each other, there's some that go at it pretty regularly. But let me tell you the good news. Studies, independent secular studies, have proven that marriages where the couples actually go at it with each other, and I have to say within certain bounds, not calling each other a bunch of names, not verbally abusing each other, not throwing skillets at each other, but where they go at it with each other within certain bounds are healthy, actually healthy marriages, and the ones that are most certain to break up are the ones where they're no longer talking to each other. So go at it! But the commitment is what makes it work, not the absence of tests. Every house is going to have its tests. We were on that in Sunday school this morning. Jesus said, build your foundation well, because the storm will come. And if the foundation isn't good, what will happen to the house? It will come tumbling down. Number three, a partnership. Marriage is a partnership. How many of you possibly have heard it said, the Lord took Eve from his rib, from his side, not from his head that he should rule over, that she should rule over him, not from his feet that he should trample on her, but from his side that he might love her, protect her, support her, and share life. And it is a partnership. I tell you what, when this thing works white, I tell you what, you're a team. Husband and wife, you're a team. God has made you a team. And you're a spatial assignment team. And you as a team can do things that no other team can do. You're like the spatial forces that our U.S. has, and we can send them anywhere on spatial missions, and they can do it. Because they are on the same page. Because they fully trust each other. Because they work together. And they don't fight each other over their strengths and weaknesses. They capitalize on the strengths and minimize the weaknesses. And you're a team. And I remember my parents and how God worked through them as a team. And they did everything together. And they were a team, and God used them. And we've got some of those teams right here in this church. And God wants to raise up more teams like that. And you younger ones that are out there, maybe not thinking about it yet, or maybe looking at marriage afar off, that's what God wants to do. He wants to raise up teams. And marriage is a partnership. And it's a wonderful partnership. Now, if I want a good marriage, now this is mostly for the younger crowd. We don't have as many here today as we do sometimes. But, I mean, some of this we can all do. But some of this we're already past the point. But do you want a good marriage? As a Christian young person, as a Christian young man, as a Christian young lady, and you want to someday be married, and you want to have a good marriage, here's some of the things that you ought to do. Number one, prepare early. You say, what do you mean by that? Prepare early. If you know you're going to grow up, and if you know at some point you're probably going to get married, then you need to start preparing early. How old was Tiger Woods? And let's just leave aside all the stuff that's been in the news recently. But how old do you think he was when his dad started getting him out there on the golf course? So, we begin to prepare early, because to be the right marriage partner, we've got to be the right person. We've got to have the right character. And so we need to begin early to say, I want to learn responsibility. I want to learn to be a responsible person. Even a child is known by his doings, it says in Proverbs. And we begin early to develop the kind of character that we know we're going to need in order to be that right husband or that right wife to somebody. And we don't wait until, you know, later on. We prepare early. Now, when we get to that stage where we're dating and stuff like that, number two, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly. This is the one that gets left out. If we pray at all, we say, Lord, we love each other. Please bless what we're about to do. That's not what I'm talking about. We pray sometimes before we buy a car. Has anybody done that besides me or somebody? We pray about decisions, don't we? We say, I don't want to make a mistake. I'm getting ready to buy a car. I don't want to make a mistake. I'm getting ready to buy a house. I don't want to make a mistake. But this over here, oh, that don't matter because we love each other. More on that later. But we pray. Because I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm a Christian young man or you're a Christian young woman, you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. And so do you think the Lord has something to say about who I marry? Now, if you want to make your own choice and go your own way, then the Lord, He won't override that. And He'll make the best of it with you later as He's able to. But if you were to ask the Lord, Lord, is this the one? And you really, really mean it. And you really, really wait until you have a definite answer from Him. Do you think He would answer you? And so it is a matter of praying earnestly about it. But too often, young people today are like, you know, well, why do I need to pray about it? Yeah, well, you need to pray about it because we pray about a lot of things. And the amount of prayer we put into it gives some idea of how, you know, how serious we are about it. So we spend more time making other decisions that are far less consequential. What college to go to or something. Huh? You do a little research? Do a little talking to different people? Check things out. Watch for patterns. There are some cases where I may not know who it is, but I know who it isn't. If I were looking. If I were listening. When I was a kid, you know, we left Alabama when I was 4 years old, but my parents had been in North Bruton for an amount of time, and we had a lady living across the road, Sister West, wonderful lady of God, but she had a daughter, and that daughter was raised in the church, and she was raised enough to know better. And like a lot of young ladies, she got attracted to this no-account young man who was already a wild thing. This young man was so wild that his own mama said to her, you shouldn't marry him because he won't be good for you. And you know what her answer was? Tell me, you know what it was. Oh, but we love each other. And right behind it is myth number two. I'll change it. We went back to Alabama when I was sixth grade or something. By then, she and the guy were no longer together. By then, she had two boys about my age. I went to school with him one day. They allow you to bring a guest, and I spent the day at school. And she slept every night with a revolver on her nightstand because she was afraid of her ex and what he would do. And she did not pray, and she did not say, Lord, is it your will that I marry this young man? She said, I love it. And that's what happens when we don't put the most important decisions we have to make to prayer. Young people, I'm telling you, pray earnestly and ask for God's direction. Number three, choose wisely. I have so many say to me, oh, but you can't control how you feel about somebody. Love just happens. Do you have eyes? Do you have ears? If that young guy is already verbally abusing you and you're not even engaged to be married yet, what do you think he's going to do once you're married? And we could give many, many other examples here. Choose wisely. Use your brain. Because if you choose the right person and the person of the Lord's choosing, there's plenty of time to fall in love. How would you have liked to live in the Bible days? Okay, son, here she is. Happy marriage. But it worked. And they had plenty of time to fall in love. But choose wisely. Now, once those three things are done, commit fully. Commit fully. Don't commit halfway. One foot in, one foot out. Commit fully. Because that's what the Lord wants you to do. Commit fully. Now, after you've committed fully, this after your marriage, then what? Now, 5 through 8, we can all do. Number five, maintain faithfully. Let me tell you something. If a lot of people maintain their cars the way they maintain their marriage, they wouldn't have a car. The car would be in the front yard propped up on some cinder blocks. We take better care of our cars than we take care of our marriages. I don't know why we think, I don't know why this car isn't running right. I mean, I changed the oil 33,000 miles ago. How many know that anything has to be maintained? You own a house? Huh? Faucets leak? Doorknobs break off? Huh? Shingles get bad. Doors squeak. Everything has to be maintained. I'm telling you. Maintain faithfully. It's worth maintaining. Is it worth maintaining? It's worth maintaining. It's something of value. It must be maintained. What do you mean? I don't know. Go to dinner. Do something together. Leave the kids with somebody for a while and do something together. But do something you both enjoy. Maintain your marriage. If it means going to a counselor, hey, don't wait until things, it's just like when we go to the doctor. A lot of people, I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to go to the doctor. Then they go to the doctor and says, you've got 90 days. How about going to the doctor a little more regularly for a checkup? And that's the way marriage counseling ought to be. That's one of the main things I tell couples. Don't wait until you're continually at odds with each other before you go and get counseling. If you see a pattern developing somewhere in your marriage, then go ahead and get the counseling. Number six, reaffirm daily. Before the Lord, it's like renewing your commitment. You know, reaffirm. Lord, you gave me this marriage. Today, I thank you for my marriage. And I want to reaffirm my commitment to my mate, to my spouse, to this marriage. Help me today to be the mate you would have me to be. Seven, celebrate frequently. And it is something worth celebrating. And number eight, treasure always. And these will work, folks. And God wants good marriages. You're not married yet? Pray about it. You don't even have a girlfriend? Pray about it. You never know when the Lord may send the right person your way. But make it a matter of prayer. Now, if it's His will that you remain single, then that's His will for you. But still put it to prayer. And always be open for what God wants. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. We thank you for what you have instituted. And we know that today, in the world that we live in today, it's very much under attack. And people they actually scoff at the idea of traditional marriage. They want to make it something in the distant past. And they want to make people believe that if they believe in traditional marriage, that they're from some other age or from some outdated way of thinking or something. But Lord, we know that marriage your way is still the best and most productive thing that you've put on this earth. So Lord, I pray today, I pray for those that we're already in marriages. Help us to value that marriage. It may not be perfect, but it's the one you gave us. And Lord, that we'll work on it, that we'll maintain it, that we'll treasure it, that we'll seek your guidance. Not in perfecting our mate, per se, but in being the right mate. And Lord, by your grace, that our marriages would be better than they've ever been before. And for those who are looking ahead to marriage, that you will give them the ability to start to prepare early, to lay good foundations in their own lives, in their own character. Lord, to be the person that you would have them to be. And to be able to function within that marriage and fulfill the role that you have for them. Bless all of our marriages today. And Lord, give all of us a fresh commitment to our own for your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.